Okay. Alright guys, here we go. So, we are discussing the Beis HaMikdash. We have just finished the first Beis HaMikdash, right? We started talking about all the things that apply there. We are now moving on to the second Beis HaMikdash, okay? So, in whole, we're going to talk about the second Beis HaMikdash. We may make reference to a lot of things, right? A lot of things we spoke about already will be familiar. We're going to go through the Mishnayos and Maseches Midos, which discuss the second Beis HaMikdash. We're going to go through the Mishnayos. Go in order of all the Mishnayos, and then you'll really have a good picture of the second Beis HaMikdash, and then we're going to compare that to the first, and then at the end, that's what we're going to do. So we're going to do about half a parak a night. There are five parakim in Maseches Midos. We're going to go through half a parak a night. I love this. This is like great. It's like no noise. Right? And then we're going to have a parak a night, and then we're going to be finished with that all. And we'll go through the differences at the end. Okay? So first, we'll talk about the second Beis HaMikdash a little bit, right? So the second Beis HaMikdash, the first one was built in, I don't know exactly what year it was built. 410 years later, it was destroyed. The first one lasted 410 years, destroyed by the Babylonians. The Babylonians took the Jews into exile for 70 years. 70 years later, Koresh was the king of that area. He allowed the Jews to go back up and build the second temple. Ezra and the Olei Bavel, everyone else who was in Bavel, and they built the Beis HaMikdash. It was nothing very special. It was just, again, it was a lot of guys from the exile, so they didn't really have much ability to do much, so it wasn't anything special. King Herod came along, and he said, "Hey, I want to make the Jews nice and happy. I want to build one of the nicest buildings the world has ever seen." And he did, and he got workers and workers and workers, and they made the most beautiful, beautiful
building. Is he Jewish? King
he was not really Jewish. He wasn't really Jewish. He was, but again, he was trying to win the Jews' appraisal, so the favor. So therefore, he built the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that was King Herod. When we talk about this Masechta, we're really talking about King Herod's Beis HaMikdash. With the beauty and all that. Okay, so the Mishnah in the first parak of Maseches Midos, again, if you guys in the future want to have a Maseches Midos, it may be helpful, talks about the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. There is a mitzvah to protect the Beis HaMikdash. Again, it is not protecting for the sake of robbers, of people who are going to destroy it. It is rather for the inyan of, it's a matter of kavod, showing respect to the Beis HaMikdash because of its great kedusha. There was a requirement of Shmiras HaMikdash. Machlokes, whether or not that applied also during the day. We're not going to mention that right now. Okay. There were 24 groups of Kohanim. Okay. They were called Mishmaros. Okay. 24 groups of Kohanim called Mishmaros. Again, you had Mishmaros. Okay. So these Mishmaros, they were split up. One week a year, right? 2 weeks a year, really. Each Mishmar would come. Okay. And they would serve, they would do Shmirah, right? They would do like the soldiers in the Israeli army, do Shmirah. So this Mishmar would come and do Shmirah in the Beis HaMikdash for that week. Okay, they would all sleep in the Beis HaMokad for the week, right? That was their situation. Right, so 24 Mishmaros, right? Again, they're about 50 weeks in the year, right? 50 weeks on the lunar calendar, the Jewish calendar. So about 2 weeks of the year, right? Pesach and Shavuot, and Pesach and Sukkot, right? They wouldn't be the same Mishmar, but 2 weeks a year, every Mishmar would come, and they would do Shmirah, okay? That was their goal. And again, there were also other Mishmaros as well, which were for the purpose of Avoda, okay? There were also Mishmaros, right? The Mishnayos Maseches Tainus talks about that there were groups of Kohanim, 24 groups of Kohanim, that went in a rotation to bring the Karban Tamid, right? The Karban Tamid is a requirement that you bring every single day. Right? Every Jew has an obligation to bring Karban Tamid every single day.
Same group.
Right? The Mishnah in Maseches Tainus says, but that's not practical. How is it practical that every single Jew is going to bring a Karban Tamid every day? There were Kohanim, right? Split up into 24 groups called the Mishmaros. Each mishmar, each group would come 2 weeks a year to bring the Karban Tamid as the shlichim, as the agents of the rest of the Jews.
These Kohanim, not Leviim, that were the mishmaros.
Correct.
And there were different groups that were
correct. So there were 24 mishmaros, which were for the purpose of the avoda, for the purpose of bringing the Karban Tamid, for the purpose of representing the Jews. Another 24 mishmaros for the sake of the shmirah. Okay.
Were any of them Leviim? The Shemirah ones were Leviim?
So there were also Leviim. There were also Leviim who were Shomrim, and they were the same type of the same situation. 24 Mishmaros, and they were split up like that also. Okay, each group, right? Each Mishmar. Right, so the Leviim had the same situation for the Shemirah, because we know the Kohanim did Shemirah and the Leviim did Shemirah. So the Leviim had a similar situation. Okay, 24 groups of Leviim. And they had the same situation. And each Mishmar, right, again, I'm talking about the Mishmaros that were for the sake of the Shmirah, each Mishmar was split up into seven, right, one for each day of the week, the Shmirah each day of the week, and that's how each group of, within that one group, the seven split groups, each group of those seven was called a base av. That was like the individual group within the seven.
This was only in the Bais Sheni?
This was seemingly also in the Bais Rishon. Also Bais Rishon. We're not really focusing on that right now, but that seemingly is also Bais Rishon. The Mitzvah Shmir Samikdash. Okay, so the question is, why are we starting off with the Mitzvah Shmir Samikdash? Okay, well, why is that the first thing that the Masechta talks about? So the Tiferes Yisrael writes that the idea is that Maseches Midos, the purpose of Maseches Midos is not just to tell us what the second base of Midos looked like, right? That's not the main goal. The main goal of Maseches Midos is, right, the purpose of knowing how the second base of Midos looked is so that we can rebuild this third base of Midos. So we have to be shomer, we have to protect, we have to be shomer over the structure of the second base of Midos so that we can know how to build the third base of Midos. That was the idea of starting with the shomer, that just like the people who protected the base of Midos, they were shomer, we also have to be shomer of the base of Midos, right, the structure, the idea, so that we can know how to build it for the third base of Midos, okay? So the Mishnah starts out the following. It says, "B'shlosh mekomos hakohanim shomer beis hamikdash." In three places, right, the kohanim did shmirah in the beis hamikdash. Okay, so tonight we're actually going to go. We're going to expand from our previous drawings. We're going to make harabayis now. Okay, harabayis is going to encompass this whole area. This is big, right? Huge. This is harabayis. Okay. Figure big rectangle square, not exactly what it was, right? So that was, this is all a harabayis. This is the mountain, okay? Obviously the mountain was not flat, it was actually curvy and all that, so they had to dig it out, they had to make it all flat. Okay? This is harabayis. Okay. And again, let's orient ourselves, let's say what we say, this is usually the west, we'll say that's the west. Up top is the west, down low is the east. Okay, we'll say this is the north. We'll say this is the south, okay? This is Harabayis, okay? This is the entire mountain, Harabayis, also known as Har Moriah. That is Harabayis, okay? So three places the Kohanim did Shmira on the base of Megiddo. Which three places? So there's a place called the Base of Tinas, okay? The Base of Tinas, again, let's get oriented. So the base of Megiddo itself, in terms of Harabayis, was seemingly in like the northwest area of Harabayis, okay? So let's say this was the base of Megiddo, right? Right? Again, it was like a rectangle within Harabayis, okay? It was not straight in the center, it was not taking up the entire Harabayis. It was just a small portion in like the northwest area of Harabayis, okay? So good. Now, okay, I'm going to erase that. You know where it is, basically. Okay, that was the base of Midrash. So now the following, okay? Again, we're going to do our classic drawing, right? We have the... I should have to tell you what these are. What do we have here? We have the...
Kodesh, we have the Ulan,
and on either side you have the Beis HaKhalifos. Good. Okay? Good. Now, let's talk about the gates. Okay. So now this whole area was encompassed by an Azara. Okay? Okay? Again, we didn't really talk about this here. So we had the Mizbeach, like right, right around here, right? This would be the Mizbeach, right? The Yom Shoshlom would be around there, right? The Mechonos would be there, right? Okay, well, actually, that's not so clear, because we're talking about the second Beis HaMikdash. It's not clear if the Mechonos were there. But this is the Mizbeach would be, okay? This would be the Ezra's Kohanim, right? Ezra's Kohanim here. And there would be the Ezra's Israel under that, okay? And then there would be, this whole area is the Ezra's Noshim, which we really haven't spoken about much yet. There were four Lishkos in the corners. We're going to talk about it in detail a lot, but this is Ezra's notion, okay? So let's get oriented here. Okay, good. We already spoke about the gates a little bit before, but we're going to talk about three places where the Kohanim did Shmira. Okay. A place called the Base of Tinas. What was the Base of Tinas? That was an area on the south side, okay, which is right here above Shar Mayim, okay? We got to do a little chazar in terms of the gates. What were the gates? What was the orientation here, if you guys remember? The first gate was what? What was the first gate? What was the first gate we spoke about? All the way in the north, in the southwest corner. So the southwest corner, right? That was called Shara Elyon. Okay, it was a small gate. That was called Shara Elyon, right there. Okay, that was Shara Elyon. That was a small gate, right? The next gate was what? You guys remember? Next gate was Shara Delek. Okay, we're going to talk about it soon. So it's a big gate, Shara Delek. The next gate was what? Is that your picture? That was called Shara Bechoros. Okay. We're actually going into detail of what each one of those was today. Okay, this is from last year. And then the last one was called Shar HaMayim. Okay? Again, three small gates and one big gate. Three big gates and one small gate. That being Shar Elyon. Okay, so that was what? That was Shar HaMayim. Okay, good. The four gates on the left side. Now, the base of Tinas. The base of Tinas was, again, so let's say that was the gate. So on top of the gate, there, on right on top of the gate, there was a mikvah for the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Right? Right on top of this gate. That was on top of Shar HaMayim. And then over to the east a little bit, there was like a structure on top of the wall, like a house structure, like a big rectangle structure, a cube, right? That was called the Beis Avtinas. Okay, so that was above Shar HaMayim. Again, I'm just drawing it out like this. Obviously, it was straight up, but it was like a little to the east, a little house on top. That was called the Beis Avtinas. Okay? That was called the Beis Avtinas. That was the first place that the Kohanim did Shmirah. Okay? Well, what happened in this base of Tinas, right? That was where they prepared the Ketores, okay? That was where they prepared the Ketores on a daily basis. Okay. Why was it called the base of Tinas? Because there was a family of Kohanim called the Avtinas family, right? The Avtinas family were the people who were obligated, who were originally responsible for preparing the Ketores. And they were people who knew they knew the recipes perfectly. Okay, that was Avtinas. that was called the base Avtinas right there.
Above Shar HaMayim.
Above Shar HaMayim, a little to the east, base Avtinas. That was the family of Kohanim, where they would do. that was the first place where they did Shmira. Okay. Okay, good. Now let's go weiter. So the second place was called base Hanitzos. Okay, so let's do orientation of the north side. Okay, what do we got here? What do we got? The first gate is what? Last year, what we got, guys? Chazar. First year is?
Out of my notebook.
Okay, that's fine. So that was called Shar HaNitzotz. Okay? Talk about the meaning of that very soon. Shar HaNitzotz, what was the second one? After Shar HaNitzotz was called the what? It's called the Shar HaKarbon. Okay? Shar HaKarbon. The third one was called what? It was a small gate. That was called the Shar HaNashim. And the fourth gate was called the, what? That was the Shar Beis HaMokad. That was like the, that was where the big Beis HaMokad was. That was called the Shar HaMokad. Okay? The gate of Shar HaNitzotz, it had two, from, let's say here was the door, right? The door was like this. From the two sides of the door, there were the walls were bolting outwards. Okay, so let's say here's the door. Let's say that was the gate. So the side boards were bolting outwards a little bit. Okay, so it formed like a little tunnel area, right, without a roof, right. So that was the idea. On those protrusions, are you with me, guys? On the protrusions that came out, there was on something another like house like that. That was called the Beis HaNitzotz. Okay, so on those protrusions that came out from the Shar HaNitzotz was sitting the Beis HaNitzotz. Not much longer, okay? That was the Beis HaNitzotz. Okay, good. Okay, that's fine. Okay, this is the Beis HaNitzotz. We're going to move through. That was the Beis HaNitzotz. Good. Okay, good? Beis HaNitzotz was on top of Shar HaNitzotz. That was that. Why was it called Beis HaNitzotz? The reason it was called that was because, the people who did the Shmirah in the Beis Avtinas and the Beis HaNitzotz were little kids, as the Mishnah Tumit says, right? The Kohanim did the Avodah in these two places were kids. Okay. And
these are the same as in the Rishon?
What?
These gates are the same as in the Rishon?
Yeah.
Wait, in those two places we just mentioned, the kids did the Avodah?
They were kids. They were kids doing the Shmirah. They were kids, meaning they're under 13 years old. And the Beis Avtinas. And the third place where the Mishnah mentions that they did Shmirah was the Beis HaMokad, which again we spoke about those right here. Like half in the Azara, half outside the Azara. The dome on top. That was
the
third
not a
place.
Wall? The what? Wall just not. The wall just stopped?
No. So it was like a split in the wall. The wall? The wall stopped at the base of Mokai, and then the wall continued after that. That was the base. That was the third place where the Mishnah says that the Kohanim would do Shmira in the base of Mokad. They were above 13 years old. Okay, they had to be above 13 years old in the base of Mokad. Okay. Okay. Oh, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. I'm going to get through a lot. All right. Okay. Mishnah is fine. So Kohanim did Shmira in three places, and it says Levim did Shmira in 21 places. Okay. 21 places. We're not going to go through all 21, don't worry. But again, the Mishnah mentions them. So I'll mention. Chamisha Achamisha Shari Harabais. Okay? Harabais had five gates. Okay? Actually, getting onto the mountain, there were five gates. Where were the five gates? There were two gates in the south. Okay? Those were the first two gates. There was another gate in the west, up here. Okay? There was a gate in the north, over here. And there was a gate in the east. Okay, so these were the first five places where the Mishnah says that the Kohanim did, that the Levim did a Shmira. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those are the five places. Okay, and then the Mishnah says that there were four additional spaces on Har Abayis in the corners. Okay, so there was no actual there was no gate there, but they would do Shmira here, 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 and here. Okay, in the four corners of Har Abayis. Now we're up to 9, okay? So 5 being in the 5 gates of the Har Abayis, 4 in the 4 corners of Har Abayis, and then the next 4, the next 5, and the Mishnah's fine. Okay, so that was 5, that was 5, and that was 4, and now you have 5 on the gates of the Azara. So which gates of the Azara? So in Sharamayim there was one of the places, right? Shemayim, that was one of the places for the Levim, right? We said in the base of Tinas, that was one of the places for the Kohanim or Shomer. So the Levim were downstairs in the Shar Mayim. That was one place, okay? The next place was the Shar HaDelek, okay? That was the second place on in the Azara that they were Shomer. The third place was the Shar HaNitzot. Again, like we said, the Kohanim was upstairs in the base of Nitzot. Levim did Shmira downstairs. 1, 2, 3. And then the fourth place was the... Fourth place was what was the gate, right? This gate right here in the Beis HaMokad, okay? The gate from the Beis HaMokad to the Azara, that was the fourth place. And the fifth place was at Shar Nikon, which was right here, okay? At the end of Ezra's show, okay? That was the fifth place for the Shmira. Okay, good. So what do we have so far? We have 5 on the 5 gates of Har Abayis. We have 4 in the corners that were up to 9. 5 in the Azara, right in the Shar Mayim, Shar Delek. Shar Nitzot, the Shar to the base of Mokad, and the Shar Nikonor. All right, so what are we at now? We're at
14.
Good. 14. Good. Now there were another 4. There were another 4 on the 4 corners of the Azara. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now we're at 18. Now we're 18, right? Okay. Good. There's actually Machlokas. Have you shown him whether or not the Ezra's Nashim had a wall? Okay. If you say it did not have a wall, we would have to say that the two Makoma Shmira here was really up here, okay? At the end of the Ezra's Shal, not there. That's a side point. We don't have to mention that right now. Good. And there was one in the Lishkas HaKarban, which was in the Beis HaMokad. We didn't speak about it. We saw there were 4 Lishkos in the Beis HaMokad, right? In the Lishkas Tlei HaKarban, which they would keep the sheep for the Karban Tamid.
Wait, where were they again? Sorry.
In the Beis HaMokad. There was another place within the Beis HaMokad. Again, there was one Levi standing like in the open area of the Beis HaMokad. I'm sorry, you're right, in the gate of the Beis HaMokad, there was one in the Lishkas Tlei HaKarban, okay, in the Beis HaMokad. Then now we're at 19, right? Now we're at 19. One was Belishkas HaParuches. Okay, Lishkas HaParuches, we said one of the places, we don't know where it was. We know that in the Lishkas HaParuches, they would make two curtains every year for the wall between the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim. Lishkas HaParuches, now we're at 20. 21 is the Achori Beis HaKabor. So there was also one lady, there was Levim being to Shmira over here, okay? Behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, between the Har Abayis. When do you have to leave?
No.
What time is it?
11.
You can't go like a few more minutes?
Maybe.
I just want to do like, I'll try and run through this, okay?
But you can try to finish before I leave.
What?
Sure.
Okay, and there was 11 amas of space, just rotation, 11 amas of space between the back of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the wall. Okay? I'll try and finish quickly. Okay.
Would it be better if I just did Chazara?
What?
Would it be better if
it's your call. Totally your call. Can you stay or do you have to go?
I can stay.
I don't want to, like, rush it.
Fine. So if you want, you can go.
Alright, I'll try to speak now.
Okay. Alright. Yes. Alright, Eitan. Good. Okay, here we go. Matter of fact, it's the first time we ever met. Okay, you mind if I do a little more detail? Because I want to...
Yeah, it's good.
Good. Okay, good. All right, yeah, I want to do detail. I just want to... Okay. So we said, okay, fine. So we said we have 21, three makomos shmira for the Kohanim, in the Beis HaNitzot, in the Beis HaTinas, and in the Beis HaMokad. 21 makomos for the Levium. We had five in the five gates of Har HaBayis. We had four in the corners of Har HaBayis. That was nine. We have another five in the actual Azara, which gives us two...
9, 14.
Gives us the 14, right? One in the Shar HaMayim, one in the Shar HaDelech, one in the Shar HaNitzot, one in the Beis HaMokad, and one in the Shar Nikanor. Now we're at 14. I'm sorry, now we're at 18. No, I'm sorry. Now we're at 14.
Yeah.
Add the four corners of the Azara. 18. Add the four corners of the Azara. Now you're at 18. And then there were three more. There was one in the, what do we say? We
said Lishkas Tzvei HaKarban.
There was, of the four Lishkos in the Beis HaMokad, one of those was with Levium. Levium de Shmira, okay? That gives us a 19. And the ones Lishkas HaParoches, which you don't know where it is, some chamber around the Azara where they made the Paroches. And the 21st place is behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Good. Okay, very, very good. Again, if you wish to know the sources, so Rashi and the Rosh write that there was a wall around the Ezra's Nashim, and the Rambam and the Ravadia write that there was no wall around the Ezra's Nashim. And again, Nafkamina being, when we say the four corners of the Azara, does that mean the Ezra's Nashim, or does that mean the Ezra's Yisrael right there, before the Ezra's Nashim? Okay. Good?
Yeah.
Says the Mishnah the following. Ish harabayis hay mechazer al kol mishmar. Mishmar, again, we're not going to draw things out here, but the Mishnah says that there was a man of harabayis, okay? There was someone who was appointed. He would go around. He was in charge of all the guys doing shmirah. He would make sure they're not falling asleep, right? Which can happen, especially if the mitzvah was at Belayla, right? We had machlokas, whether the mitzvah was Belayla and Bayom. So at least according to everyone, there was a requirement of shmirah Belayla. So you had a guy. There was a guy appointed whose job it was to make sure people didn't fall asleep. Okay, it says in the Mishnah, Ish Harabayis Hay Mechazer Al Kol Mishmar Mishmar. There was a man of the Harabayis who would go around. Right, he would have a group of people with him traveling from Mishmar to Mishmar, place to place, to make sure. Again, each Makom of the 21 places for the Levium and the three for the Kohanim, it wasn't just one person; it was a group of 10 people. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. There's right. Okay. Good. So again, you have a guy who's appointed on the mishma on the shmir on the, all the shomrim. He would go around with the chevra, and the chevra would hold a torch in front of him. The Mishnah says they would hold the avukos stok in the front of. There were torches that were lit for him, and the whole mishma she'ena omed. And whenever he saw that there was a mishma that was not standing, okay,
yeah,
and he was afraid that they maybe fell asleep. Omer lo ish harabai shalom alecha. He would say to the guy, he says, shalom alecha, right? Right to the guy, he didn't see him standing, right?
Yeah.
If he heard a response, right? If the guy who's doing the mishmar responded, so then he'd move on and he'd go to the next mishmar. If not, so nikeshu yashin. It was a simon that he fell asleep during the shmirah. Chovte b'maklo. So then the ish harabayis, right? This guy appointed, he would smack him with a stick. V'roshos hayalo lisra feskususo. Okay? And if in the opinion of Ish HaRabayis, this guy was really doing it intentionally, right? He really was trying to screw up big time, right? If his sin was really big, so then he's just even to burn his clothing, okay? So not only could he hit him with a stick, but he could also burn his clothing. Okay. The Mishnah says, the people of Yerushalayim used to say, they used to hear screaming out of the base of the Mikdash, right? They would ask, one person would ask the other person, Ma kol b'azar, what's the screaming in the azar, what's happening? And the answer would be, kol ben Levi loke, who begot the nisrafim, sheshen al mishmaro, right? That the Levi is being hit, and his clothes are being burned, because he slept during his mishmar. Okay?
Yeah.
Again, it's important to note that you're not allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash area. So when they say they're protected in the gates, they would actually be outside, so they'd let us sit down. Because again, it's tiring at night to be standing the whole night.
So they'd be outside the gates?
They'd be actually outside the gates because you could, cause in the actual Azar, they weren't allowed to sit down. It's the Isra Yeshiva. Okay, unless you're Malchei Beis David. Okay, that's the exception. Right, the kings of Beis David, they're allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, so the one person would ask his friend, and say, hey, what's going on in the Beis HaMikdash? Ma kol ba'azara. So then they would say, kol ben Levi loko b'gad nisrafim sheshen la'mishmaro. That the Levi was being hit and his clothes are being burnt because he's sleeping during his mishmar. Rabbeinu ben Yaakov Omer, he says, Pamachas matzu es achi ima yashin v'sarfu es k'susa. Rabbeinu ben Yaakov relates that once upon a time, they found his uncle sleeping and they burned his garment. Okay?
His uncle,
Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And the chiddush is, right, the novelty is, that even though his uncle was a great person, because we have a tradition that anyone who is a great person, his uncle is also a great person, right? So, even, and again, Elizabeth Yaakov's uncle, must be that his uncle was also a great person. Even though he's a great person, and it could be that it was a complete, not his, he didn't really want it, right? It was an accident that he slept. Even it could be it was the first time in his life that it happened. Still, they burned his garment. Okay? All right. It could be also that Elizabeth Yaakov is not just quoting this story, but he's also coming to disagree and saying that you don't both hit the guy and burn his garment. You only do one or the other. Either burn his garment or come to him. Okay, that is another point. Side point. Okay, good. Next Mishnah Gimel. Okay, now we're gonna go back into our details. Okay, says the Mishnah Chamisha Sharm Haril Harabayis. There were five gates to Harabayis. Okay, five gates to Harabayis. Again, we spoke about them already. Two in the south, one in the west, one in the north, one in the east. Right, we spoke about them. On the south, they were called Shari Chulda. Okay. These two gates were called Shari Chulda. Okay. Why were they called Shari Chulda? So there are a couple opinions. Opinion number one is the following. They were at the main part of Harabayis, right? The main area of Harabayis, right? That's where they were. Just like a Chulda, which is a weasel, right? A weasel is like at the main part of what do you call it? It's like a weasel, right? He lives at the main part of the houses, right? Like at the base, right? So he was like at the base of the mountain. So just like a weasel is also at the base of like a house, right? Where he's like looking for different things. That's why it was called the Chulda, after the weasel. And the second shot was that during Bayis Rishon, Chulda HaNeviya. Chulda was one of the seven Nevios, seven of the Jewish of Nevios. So Chulda used to sit between the two gates, not actually in the Harabayis, but off Harabayis.
She was a Navi?
Yeah, she was a Navi, Chulda. Chulda HaNeviya. Yeah, Chulda.
She.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, one of the seven women Nevios, right? Okay, good. Right? Different Nevios. She was one of them. Avigal was one of them. Okay. Right, I'm sorry. It could be that she was actually in on Harabayis, but the point was she wasn't actually in the base of Megiddo. She was only right there. Okay? Fantastic, okay? Right, the Mishnah says that Misham Shem Knesset Yetzia, that they served as an entrance and exit, right, to the Harabayis. We're going to see that this area was very, very well populated. It was used a lot. We're going to see why in a second. Okay. Actually, I'll mention it right now. Yerushalayim was south of Harabayis, okay? This is Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim was right here. Because most people coming in from the south, coming to the Beis HaMikdash from the south, most people coming from the south, you need two gates instead of one gate. If you have one gate, it's going to be massive traffic. So you have two gates. That's why they enacted two gates. So we established two gates going into Harabayis. Okay, because the ear was from the south, and most people come in through the south, therefore they had two gates. Called Shari Chulda. Okay, good. Now in the west side, we set a gate right here. That shar was called Kiponos. Okay? Shar Kiponos. Now, what was Shar Kiponos? Shar Kiponos was Kiponos is the Greek word, for Avodas Hagan, right, working in the garden, right? That's Kiponos. Why was it called that? Because there's an Isser on Harabayis to plant a garden, you can't plant a tree. So there was a rose garden that was right around there, right outside the Harabayis, right? And since there was one rose garden there, they called it Kiponos, which is a Greek word for a garden working in the garden. Okay? Good. Now that was in terms of the, West. Now, from the north, there was a Shar right here. That was called Shar Teti. Okay? Shar Teti. Okay? What was Shar Teti? So it's Machlokas. So, according to the Chacham, according to Machlokas, Hatanayim, according to the Chacham, there was no purpose of Teti. It was just there. Right? Actually, it wasn't round, it was actually diagonal. It was like a triangle, like that. Triangle, Shar Teti was a triangle. Right? According to the Chacham, it had no purpose. Good. And the teddy is an Aramaic word. So again, going back to the etymology of the words, teddy was an Aramaic word, right, meaning a Hebrew word for hetzna. Okay? Hebrew word would be hey, sadi, nun, ayin. We spoke about the word hetzna when we talked about the time a little bit. Right? Hetzna, which comes from Lashon Tzanua. And why was it Tzanua? Because, again, nobody went there. Nobody really went out the north exit. Right? It was almost uninhabited. Okay? Okay. According to Elizabeth Ben Yaakov, it was a gate for the Balkari to go out. Again, what would happen? Let's say he had a Kohen who unfortunately he was sleeping in the Beis Hamokad and he had a Balkari, okay?
For Kohanim that would Balkari.
Well, Kohanim would be doing the Avodah.
Yeah.
Kohanim had a Balkari, woke up, he found some stuff on his body, stuff that shouldn't have been there, right? You get the idea. So he would go down. There was one of the chambers within Beis Hamokad, one of the four chambers, had stairs going down to the tunnels underneath the Beis Hamikdash. So the Kohen who became Tamei from this Balkari would go down those stairs, okay? Go to the Mikveh Tara. According to Elazar ben Yaakov, there was a gate that went all the way around. There was a tunnel that went all the way around back to Har HaBayis. And then he would go at Shar Teti. Why would he go at Shar Teti? Because again, we don't want him to be embarrassed really of his situation. So therefore we send him out the private gate. Right, it was really like a private gate in the north. Okay, that was Shar Teti. Okay, now East Gate. What is east of Har HaBayis? What's east? Very, very important mountain. Har Hazesim. Why is that very important? Because of the burning of the Parah Aduma. We're in Parshas Chukas. We're going to talk about it in a second, okay? So the East Gate, okay? East Gate is called Shar Shushan, okay? The Gate of Shushan. Okay. It's called Shar Shushan. Why was it called Shar Shushan? Because because there was a picture above the gate. There's a picture above the gate of the city of Shushan, okay? It was like a drawing of the picture of the city of Shushan. Right, which was the capital of Persia. Okay. Now your question is why was there a picture of Shushan? Because Koresh had allowed Ezra to go up with exiled Jews to Eretz Yisrael to build a second Beis HaMikdash. He said only on the condition that you have a picture of Shushan, because you should never forget that Koresh was the king of Persia, right? And Shushan is the capital of Persia, as we know from the Purim story, right? So we don't want them to forget that Shushan is really in control of you guys. You guys are really under the subjugation of Shushan, of Persia. So therefore, they had to put a picture of Shushan on top of the East Gate. Now, why specifically the East Gate? Because when you come from Persia, Persia is to the east of Eretz Yisrael. So let's say Koresh would send some emissaries to the Beis HaMikdash to make sure these guys realize who their master is, who their boss is, right? So the first thing they would see was this picture on top of Shar Shushan, and they say, okay, you know, these guys are good to go. That's fine. Okay? On top of Shar Shushan, there was also a bias, right? A bias. It was called Lishka Shushan Habira. The Lishka on top. That was called Lishka Shushan Abira. Okay, and on that bias, on that little area, that's where the picture of the capital of the Shushan was. Okay, good?
Yeah.
So what do we have? We have two in the south, Shar Yechulda. We have the west being Shar Kiponos. We have the north, Shar Teti. We have the east, Shar Shushan. And then above we have like the Lishka Shushan Abira. On that was the picture of the capital of Shushan. Okay, now good. Good? All right. Now, okay. So what was very significant about this gate? Very significant about this gate was there was a huge, long bridge. It's a long, long bridge that went from Shar Shusha. Okay? A long, long bridge. The bridge went all the way to Har Zeisim. Okay? Underneath the bridge, it's extremely important. Underneath the bridge, Mishnah Maseches Paros is as follows. So let's say this was a bridge. Let's say this was Shar Shusha on the east gate. Under the bridge there was an open area of a tefach. Okay, so open areas of tefach like this. Okay, like domes of open area.
Okay? Wait, what do you mean? Sorry.
Second, domes of open area. There were domes under, meaning as follows. Meaning, you walk across the bridge. The bridge itself was around these areas. Okay, these were open areas. Okay, the reason they were open areas is because the Kohen, the Machlokas, whether it has to be a Kohen or Kohen Gadol, would go across the bridge to burn the Paraduma, which we're going to talk about how that works in a second. He would walk across the bridge, and he couldn't become Tameh. So let's say there was a dead body. This is a dead body under the bridge, right? When he's leaving the Beis HaMikdash to go to Har Zeisim, this is a dead body, so he didn't want to become Tameh. So the area, this is the problem with, but luckily you have to have open area above a dead body. If you have open area above a dead body, then a tefach of open area. So that's why these were tefachai, these open areas, so that if the tumah couldn't go straight up and couldn't make the kohen tameh. Okay? That was the purpose of that. Okay. Good. Just a historical note, from the time of the Mishkan until the destruction of the second bias, they only burnt about seven paradumas. Again, okay, what would they do? They would bring it to Beis HaMikdash, and into Beis HaMikdash, they would walk out the para all the way across the keves, right? This was the rim. This was called the keves, the bridge, all the way across the Har Mishcha, and they would burn the paraduma. They would tie it down on a pile of wood. They would tie it down, and they would burn the para, and they would throw certain things into the fire, right? They would throw cedar wood. They would throw hyssop. Right, the Torah says, and the third thing they would throw was a piece of wool, which was crimson, which is red. Okay, those are the three things they threw into the burning fire, and then the ashes of the paraduma, that's what they mix with water to pour to sprinkle on someone in their tummy. Okay, that was that. Okay, so the Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol who served the para, right, and all of his people who went with him. He wasn't the only guy who went.
Wait,
he
so when the you said Machlokas, whether it had to be a Kohen Gadol.
Oh, so that's right. So Machlokas, whether or not the person who did the strafe had to be a Kohen or could be a Kohen Gadol, or could it be just a Kohen, right? The Reb Meir holds that it had to be a Kohen Gadol, right? And the Mishnah in Para, and Reb Yehuda holds that it was even a Kohen Hedyot. Okay, even a Kohen Hedyot, even someone who wasn't a Kohen Gadol, Reb Yehuda holds he could do the Strafas Para Aduma. Okay. Good. So the Kohanim, and again, the Kohen, either it was a Kohen or Kohen Gadol, whoever it was, right? He wasn't the only one who was walking across the Keves. He needed help from other guys, right? So him and all the guys, the Chol Mesadeh, the Mishnah says, they would go to Har Mishka to that area. Okay?
Kohen and other guys.
The other Kohanim who would accompany him when he would take the Paraduma. Again, it was a lot to do. It was a huge bull, taking a red bull. Again, the reason the para was in the Beis HaMikdash to begin with was because the Sanhedrin, they had to check to make sure that the para aduma was was actually fit to be the para aduma. Again, there's certain clarifications. It has to be first of all, it has to be red. It has to be a red cow. It has to be tamima asher ein ba mum. You have to make sure that it doesn't have any blemish on it. Asher lo al ha'ol, that there was no yoke upon it. Right, certain conditions that are required of the para aduma. They were checked here before they were then sent off to Har Zeisim to have it burnt. Okay. Lamaisa, only nine of them were actually burnt over a period of a lot of years. But the Mishkan to the end of the second bias, which was, let's say, 900 years, 1,000 years, right, there were only 9 burnt. So there really weren't that many. But that was the process. Okay, again, Mishnah Dalet, again, moving through the Mishnayos. The fourth Mishnah says that there were seven gates in the Azara. There were seven gates in the Azara. Okay, good. Okay, the gates were 20 amos high and 10 amos wide. Okay, that's important to know. Again, the big gates, okay? 20 amos high and 10 amos wide. The small gates, we don't know. Okay. Hold on tight. Okay, it's a machlokes between Ravadia Bar Tanura and Tosfos as to whether or not there is a... Okay, so the Mishnah here says there were seven gates to the Azara, okay? Seven gates in the Azara. Really, really simple. Seven gates. The Mishnah later on says there were 13 gates. So how do you resolve the contradiction? So Ravadia Bar Tanura says Enechanami, it's a machlokes. One Tana holds that there were seven gates, and the Tana and the Mishnah later on, which says there were 13 gates, is a different Tana. According to that's Ravadia Bar Tanura Rishon, and that was his opinion. Tosfos in Maseches Ksuvos disagrees, and he says no, it doesn't mean there's no machlokes. It's not one holds there was seven, one holds there was 13. Actually, it's really the same opinion because there were seven big gates and six small gates. Six small gates, okay. Good. So the Mishnah says there were Shiva Shavim Hari Bazar. There were seven gates in the Azara. Shlosha B'tzafon, three in the north. Okay, three in the north. Three in the north being Sharanitza. Okay, so we're going to say in a second. Okay, three in the north for Shlosha B'darim. Three in the south, and Ve'echad Mizrach, one in the east, which was right there. Okay, Sheva Darim. So now the Mishnah starts off talking about the southern gates. Okay, it starts from the west to the east. Again, seven gates, according to Tosfos, right, who says that they're really, everyone agrees there were 13 gates, but seven big gates, six small gates. We're talking about the seven gates were big. Seven big gates, okay? Seven big gates. First one was Sharadelek, okay? Sharadelek going west to east, that was this one here, okay? Sharadelek, what was after Sharadelek? Shar HaBechoros. The third one was Shar HaMayim, which is right here, okay? The small ones, again, if you hold that even these small ones existed, right, according to the Rav Ravadia Bar Tanura, that there was only seven. That according to one opinion, there was only seven. So if you say that, then the other five gates didn't even exist to begin with. But again, Shar Elyon was on the south side, the small gate. Shar Nashim on the right side was a small gate. There were two small gates up here, the west. If you say there was a set 13, but again, so we're just doing the Mishnah right now. We're talking about seven. We're talking about the three in the south, Shar Delek, Shar Bechoros, Shar Mayim, and the Mishnah says there were three in the Sheva Mizrach, Shar Nikanor. In the east, right here, that was Shar Nikanor, right at the end of Ezra Yisrael. Right, this is where we left off the shir, was just that gate, Shar Nikanor, right there. There were two lishkos on the right and left side of Shar Nikanor, right? One was called Lishkas Pinchas HaMalabish. That was on the right side of that. Right, Lishkas Pinchas HaMalabish was, when you walk into Shar Nikanor, on the right side, it was called the Lishka Pinchas HaMalabish. Right, what was the purpose of that? That's where they kept the clothes of the Kohanim. They have a closed aquarium and something called the Lishkas Pinchas HaMalbish. That was that one. And the left one was called Lishkas Osei Chavitin. Right? That was called the Lishkas Osei Chavitin, where they make the Chavitin. What are the Chavitin? The Chavitin are referring to, the Chavis is like referring to the pan, but it's referring to the Mincha the Kohen Gadol has to bring every single day, called the Minchas Chavitin. That's, he would prepare that in the Lishkas Osei Chavitin. Okay? That was the left Azara there. Okay? Talking about the gates in the north, Shebet Safon, Sharon Nitzotz, okay? Sharon Nitzotz, which was right there, okay? Then you had, right, Ukumin Achsadrahaya, and then the Mishnah explains that there were two side posts, they were bolting outwards, right, like we said before. And on top of that was the Beis HaNitzotz, right, we spoke about that. The Aliyah Benuya Al-Gabov, and there, on top of the gate, there was a Beis HaNitzotz. Shakohanim Shomer Laman, because the Kohanim would be Shomer up there, up top, while the Levim, we said, would be Shomer down there, right? But there were also the Kohanim were up top. Levim and Matan, Upesach Elo Lechel, and there was an entrance, right? And the two things that bolted out, and one of those things that bolted out, there was an entranceway to the Chel. What was the Chel? The Chel was the area that was 10 amos long. 10 amos long. Okay. So again, there's air around the Azara, around the entire Azara, okay? The entire Azara, there was a fence. A small fence, low to the ground. Can you speak about this? I don't know if you spoke about this yet.
I think so.
There was a fence, small fence low to the ground, that was called the Sorig, okay? The small fence low to the ground. In between the Sorig and the wall of the Azara, there was 10 amos. That area was called, that whole Shetach, that whole area was called the Chel.
It's called the Sorig, the fence.
The Sorig was the fence, right? So the fence, the Chel was the area between the fence and the wall of the Azara. Okay, good. And then the Mishnah says that the second was Shar Karban, and the third one was Shar HaMokad, where the Beit HaMokad right there. Again, skipping Shar Nashim because that was a small gate. Again, it could be like that really never existed. But the seven big gates everyone agrees on, seemingly right. Again, one more time, Kuchazara. They were the three gates in the south was Shar Delek, Shar Bechoros, Shar Mayim. On the north side, they were Shar Nito, Shar Karban, and Shar and Shar HaMokad, Beit HaMokad. Those were six. And the seventh one was Shar Nikanor. Okay, those are the seven big gates. We end up mentioning just now the Beis HaMokad that we will continue with tomorrow. Okay?